It's also important to notice that Vasari used the term Rinascita dell'arte. He was talking about the rebirth of painting. Fundamentally, he's talking about the rebirth of painting. So it was not yet somehow a term that attached itself to an entire culture and to an entire phenomenon. Now, the word has had a somewhat varied history over the last several centuries. For example, the Protestant reformers applauded Renaissance attacks on the Catholic Church. They applauded Renaissance interest in earlier texts, early scholarship, particularly in manuscripts of the Bible and the Church Fathers, but they disliked what they saw as the hedonism and the rationalism of Renaissance Italy. So kind of a plus figure and a minus figure. In the scientific revolution in the 17th century, in the Enlightenment in the 18th century, there was a marked tendency, again, people then marking themselves off as different, but there was a marked tendency to draw lines, I think, a little too sharply between medieval superstition and Renaissance rationalism. The point is that Renaissance people were not also terribly rational. Medieval people were not also terribly superstitious. But in later times, people looked back and drew this very sharp dichotomy between these two periods and anchored that dichotomy very much into most people's way of thinking. For the Romantics, there are, again, ironies. There was an aesthetic appreciation, for instance, of Renaissance art. But the Romantics inherited also, from the Enlightenment, the idea that the Renaissance had somehow crowned reason in the place where the Middle Ages had put superstition. And the Romantics perceived that this rationalism was a bad thing, in that it somehow suppressed the natural man. Now, that again is not a view that tells us very much about the Renaissance, whatever we wish to understand that as, but it is certainly a view that tells us a good deal about the Romantics. Now, the first great modern attempt to capture some sense of this era as a whole came with the Swiss scholar Jakob Burckhardt and his Civilization of the Renaissance in Italy, published in 1860. Still in print, long since it was written in German, quickly translated into English. It's still in print today. You can go into a bookstore and buy it in paperback. Two stout volumes. It's a considerable read, but also quite a beautiful read. Burckhardt's effort was to find in some way the spirit of the age, something that would tie this civilization of the Renaissance together. Now, eventually, he wrote, for instance, of individualism, humanism, and classicism, and about many other things as well. But the point is that he was trying to find, on scholarly grounds, he was trying to find a way to capture the spirit of this age, the spirit of this period, as he would have said in German, the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time. Well, most people today, most specialists, I think, in Renaissance history today, would not fully accept Burckhardt's interpretations, but there is an interesting parallel between Burckhardt and Edward Gibbon, about whom we spoke some lectures ago. That is to say, Gibbon did ask a lot of the right questions, and he laid down a lot of the right paths of scholarship. Burckhardt asked a lot of the right questions and laid down a lot of the right paths of scholarship. If we have moved on, we nevertheless are a bit like dwarfs, perched on the shoulders of these giants. All right, so the term Renaissance itself has been used again and again and again and again. It isn't a lot easier, frankly, to talk about the kinds of things that would come under this heading Renaissance. In other words, if we don't simply look for the semantic field Renaissance and say, well, what meanings can we give that word? We might move along and say, all right, if sort of Renaissance is, let's say, Roman numeral 1 in our outline, what is A, B, C, D? What goes under Renaissance? Well, one thing that comes immediately to mind is humanism. Virtually always we think of Renaissance humanism. Well, that's true. That was already there in Burckhardt. But humanism is not an easy thing to define. For instance, humanism can mean, in one simple sense, a love and concern for human beings, a focus on human beings. We might take as an example of this Giovanni Pico della Mirandola's moving oration on the dignity of man.